Good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to be here again this evening. I'm excited about this evening. You heard Cal just a second there say good evening. I think that was louder than everybody here because Cal has a passion. I'm finding out really quick, Cal has a passion for sharing Jesus. So he's not scared to let himself be heard. And Cal, I admire you for that.
Praise the Lord.
Anyhow, so we have Cal Zastro with us here this evening. I haven't met him until this evening here at church. I talked with him on the phone a couple of different times, and it didn't take long for me to find out that Cal loves the Lord. Each one of us here tonight, I hope, has the passion of loving God and serving Him with all that we have. So I'm going to ask you, Cal, to come up here. They didn't come to hear me tonight. They came to hear you, see what you have to share from the Word. I invite you to stand, and we're going to pray. God, thank you so much tonight for your blessings to us. We thank you that you are holy, and you ask us, Lord, to walk in a way that honors and pleases you in a way that's holy, too. Lord, tonight we're looking forward to see what you have through Brother Cal, what he's got to share. We ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, that we could hear, and that we could leave here challenged, desiring to be faithful in what we do. We bless you, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Bless you, man.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Thank you so much for coming out tonight. It's a privilege and a joy to be here. My family and I, we live up by Bay City. My youngest son, Jim, he lives in Missouri, but he's visiting, so he's here, along with a couple of my grandsons came along. So really appreciate the privilege, the invitation to come and share. Tonight I'd like to share a little bit of my testimony, and I'm going to preach from God's Word, and then I'm going to invite you all. I'm going to give you invitations for missions, so I'm just letting you know what's coming here. So turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 28. And while you're turning there, we got some kids here. Okay, kids, when mom and dad have something really important to tell you, but they have more than one thing to tell you, when do they tell you the most important thing? Usually it's the first and the last thing they tell you, right? And they may repeat the last thing. Okay, just to make sure you get it. Well, what's the last thing Jesus told us to do is really important. The most important thing is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So he led off with that. But let's see what the last instructions, the last command Jesus gave us before he ascended into heaven. Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our purpose as human beings, and our purpose as Christians, is to worship God, to love God, to know Him and be known by Him and enjoy Him forever. That's our purpose. That's why you were born. That's why God created you. That's number one. What is the number one job that God has given us to do, though? Especially as a church. Job number one is to take the message of salvation, the gospel, to every creature, every nation. That's job one. So when Jesus ascended into heaven, he told people, here's your job. Make sure everybody in the world hears the gospel. Make sure everybody, everywhere, gets the opportunity. And those that are saved, those that Jesus saves, they'll be part of His church. And His church will grow. And His church will spread. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And those that don't believe, they don't believe. They're not going to become part of His church. But the ones who do believe, The gospel is going to spread from them to more people. And then at some point, the end is going to come and God's going to judge. There'll be a great final judgment and the earth will end as we know it. And I don't know when that's going to be. But it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus spoke this and did this. Now, if it was job one for His early church, for the believers, if it was job one for them to take the gospel everywhere in the world, they haven't done that yet. In fact, it's been 2,000 years and a lot of people in the world haven't heard about Jesus yet. So before I criticize or belittle Christians that have gone before us in millennia and centuries, let's just believe God and become the generation that gets her done. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. Let's be the generation. Let's be the families, the individual. Let's be the churches. Let's be the nation that finishes the job of world evangelization. Let's go to the text. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Now, some people have power to give, power to bless, power to help, power to serve. But Jesus has all power. And He has delegated some of His power to His people. But He has all power. So there's nothing Jesus can't do. The devil for a season, Jesus for a while allows the devil to cause trouble, to tempt people, to stir up bad things. For a season, Jesus is allowing the devil to hurt folks. But Jesus has all power, and His power is greater than any temptation or work of the devil. He has all power because He is God and worthy of our worship and praise. Okay, that's a truth. Now the command, go ye therefore, teach all nations. Teach, preach, disciple, train them, spread the kingdom of God. Let's go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I've commanded. The gospel of salvation is real easy and simple to understand. Jesus is God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And that believing that Jesus Christ is God, and that while He was on earth, He lived a sinless life, and then He allowed cruel, violent men to torture Him, to whip Him, and then to kill Him. But because He had never sinned, God accepts His death as payment for our sin and all who believe, all of His children. God accepts that. And by trusting and yielding to Him and believing on Him, confessing and repenting of our sins and surrendering everything to Christ, we can follow Him. And not only that, but we can be born again by the Holy Spirit. That happened to me at age 6. When I was 6 years old, I understood the gospel. I understood that I wanted to be good, but I couldn't always be good. I understood that my heart was desperately wicked. And even when I was being good, I was sinning by being proud of being so good. And so I confessed my sin and I said, I believe in Jesus to save me and forgive me. And I'm going to receive Your forgiveness. And I believe You are Lord. And I confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart that Jesus is Lord. And I repented and Jesus saved me when I was 6 years old. So everybody needs to hear that message, don't they? And teaching them to obey all things, whatever I commanded. So Jesus wants them, all His commandments, all His truths, all His instructions taught to people. Not just say a little prayer and you're okay. Not just go to church once a week and you're okay. Nope. Jesus said, love not the things of the world. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Jesus said, if you love mother or father, sister or brother, son or daughter, more than me, you're not worthy of me. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. He said lots of things. And we're commanded to teach all of them to all nations. That sounds like a lot of work. It is. But that's job one for us. I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Truth, command, and promise. When we believe and we obey Christ, we have His promises. And that means He will be with us always, even to the end of the world. Even if there's problems, Jesus prophesied that people will hate us. Some of us will be killed. He said some will be martyred. And He said some, not even a hair of your head will be touched or removed. And also in Hebrews 11, there's two groups of people that live by faith. The first group saw foreign armies routed and women raised dead people back to life through faith in Jesus. And miracles and great things happened. That was group one. And group two, people who live by faith, they got sawn asunder. And they got tortured and whipped and beat and martyred and killed with the sword. Here's the program with you follow Jesus. You don't get to pick which group you're in, group one or group two. You don't get to pick. If you're in the first group that doesn't get a hair on their head touched, or the first group that gets all the signs and wonders and miracles and everything's wonderful and prosperity, or you don't get a pick if you're in that group, and you don't get a pick if you're in group two, where they torture you and kill you. You don't get a pick, and you don't get a no. But living by faith means accepting either group and welcoming whatever God has for you. That's what living by faith means. Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man returneth, shall He find faith on the earth? Well, I can't answer for the whole earth, but I can answer for me. You can answer for you. We can answer for our family. We can partially answer for our church. That's what faith looks like there. I want to give you three key words, illustrated by some personal examples. I want to give you three key words of how to live a missions-focused life. First of all, don't read this command and say, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too poor, I'm too busy, Don't make any excuses, okay? Just surrender and say, Lord, how do you want me to obey these commands? When do you want me to obey these commands? And where do you want me to obey these commands? So let me give you three key words. How to live a missions-focused life, even before you go to the mission field or afterwards or while you're on the mission field. Three key words for you to obey these. And the first word is to pray. To pray. If we do something, if we do works for God without praying, then we're just doing good works. And one of two rotten things are going to happen because of that. Number one, we're going to succeed at that and we'll become proud and puffed up and look at the good works I did. And number two is we'll get burned out and we'll quit. But if we pray and we seek the Lord and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, if we ask the Lord to bless the preaching of His word, if we ask the Lord to save souls, if we ask the Lord that when we teach people, they'll be hungry for truth and they'll listen. If we pray and ask God's will be done. And we will pray God's will. God is not willing that anybody should not hear the gospel. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We can pray God's will. For over 30 years, my family and I have been going to China as missionaries on short-term trips. By God's grace, we've smuggled in many thousands of Bibles, and I'm hoping to get back there and do it again. So you're invited to come with me or apply to come with me and talk to me about that afterwards. They need Bibles there. They need teaching. They need friends to show up and encourage them. And so, almost 30 years ago, on one of our trips, we also taken Bibles, we also taken scripture booklets. How many of you have heard of a place just across the border in Indiana called World Missionary Press? Hey, yeah! This, my tribe, my people. So, they do a great work making scripture booklets and sending them all over the world. Well, we have taken many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of those scripture booklets in Chinese and in Tibetan and in Uyghur, and we've taken those into China, smuggled those into China. And then what we do is we go strategically now in Western China, especially Tibetan Buddhist or minority tribal Muslim villages and towns. And at night in winter, we go in and we cover those towns. So every door, every bicycle, every motorcycle, every car, every mosque, every temple, every clothesline gets completely covered with scripture booklets in their language that they can read. And then it's got contact information on the back of the booklets. So that's one of the ministries that we do in China. And we just think everybody in China has the right to hear the gospel once in their life. They have the need for it. And many of the villages that we go to, no Christian has ever been there to witness or preach the gospel in the history of that village. 2,000 years since Christ came and gave the command to go to everywhere. Some places haven't been reached yet, so we try and go reach those, especially with the literature. So on this one trip, there was about a dozen of us. And there was a guy there who was a long-termer. He was from South Africa, and he'd been a long-term missionary to Hong Kong and to China. And we were on a train, and we were headed to the city of Baoji. Okay? And all of a sudden, we're sitting on this train, and we got all our luggage plumb full of Bibles and scripture booklets to make a delivery with. And a Chinese policeman in his green uniform comes up to us on the train and starts talking to us. And it's not, "Hi, how are you?" He's kind of barking commands at us, and we don't understand Chinese, so we just go, "Ting Bu Dong, do not understand. Ting Bu Dong, sorry." So, and he looked all business. So he comes back in 5 minutes or something with a Chinese businessman looking person who was dressed nice. And he comes back with this guy. He found somebody who spoke English who can be his forced translator. And it's winter time. It's not real cold because the train is heated, but it's not hot. And this guy's all of a sudden starting to sweat, and he looks real nervous. So I figured this out, that this guy is translating under duress. "Hello, my name is Yao Wei. I am here to translate for you for this nice policeman." I say, "Hello, Mr. Yao Wei. Has this nice policeman threatened to hurt you?" "Yes." I said, "Then we do not want you to be hurt or get in trouble. We will cooperate." "Oh, good." So he says, "This policeman wants to see all of your passports and ask you questions and search your luggage." So he starts going around and looking at passports, and we're going deliberately slow and silently, quietly praying. And we're all just tourists. We come into China as tourists. So we're just seeing sights. And if we get caught or if we get kicked out, so what? Somebody else is coming next month. But our long-term missionary friend, we didn't want his passport known. And we didn't want him searched. And we didn't want him kicked out. Because he's learning the language. He speaks some Chinese. And we don't want him to get in trouble with the rest of us. So he goes through occupation. Where do you live? Passport, all that. And it's taking a while. And finally, there's just a couple of guys left, including the long-term missionary. And for some undisclosed reason, this policeman just stops, closes his little book, and marches off out of our car of the train into one of the other cars somewhere. He's just gone. So we look at each other and we look at the translator, Yahweh. And I said, do you know what he is doing? He says, no. I said, are you glad he's gone? Yes. And he never bothered us again. So then we invite Yahweh to sit down with us and we present to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we say, your name Yahweh is almost just like the Hebrew name for the one true God, Yahweh. He said, tell me about that. So he had heard of Christmas and he had heard of baby Jesus, but he'd never heard the gospel. He'd never heard that Jesus had lived a sinless life. He'd never read or seen a Bible before in his life. And he was an educated man. He was a medical doctor, a Chinese doctor. And right there in that train, he confessed his need, his sin, and believed and trusted, placed his trust in Christ for salvation and prayed to do that right there on that train. When I got back home to Michigan, I got a call from my buddy, Jim Conway, over in Mount Pleasant. And he says, Cal, what happened on such and such a night, on the night of the 23rd at about 1:30 in the morning? I said, well, that'd be 1:30 in the afternoon over in China. What day was it? This day. I said, yeah, that was the exact time and the exact day when this policeman came to come and interrogate us and search our luggage on the train. He said the Lord woke him up and said, pray for Cal and intercede for him right now. So he went to prayer and he went to intercession and he cried out to God. And he prayed in the spirit and he prayed for about 20 some minutes. And then all of a sudden he sensed the Lord say, the victory's won. You can stop now. And then he wrote that in his little prayer journal. And then when I got back from China, he called and said, so what was going on then? And I explained it. It was the exact time we were on the train getting searched. Prayer is not just being close to God, which is that's the primary thing. Prayer is not just asking God for things or claiming blessings from God or bringing needs to God. That's not the primary use of prayer. The primary use of prayer is to tell Jesus how beautiful and wonderful he is. To thank him for his word, to thank him for every breath, to live in gratitude of worship of this wonderful Savior who would die on the cross to pay your sin debt and my sin debt. That's the primary use of prayer. But we also can pray for missionaries and pray for each other and ask God to show you who and what you should be praying about. Often in the line, when you're in the line at the grocery store, yep. When you're driving, yes. When you wake up in the morning, yes. Maybe not when your teacher wants you to be giving your speech in school right at the moment. No, then it's time to say what you're supposed to say. But every other time when you have downtime, move time, you can be praying. You can say, Lord, bring somebody or something to mind that I need to be praying for right now. If we pray for missionaries to be sent to unreached villages and nations, God will call them and he will send them. If we pray for them to live holy and pure, God will help and equip them. If we pray for souls to be saved, God's already foreordained people. God has predestined people to be saved. He's waiting for the guy to show up to preach to them and they'll get saved. It is God's will that his church, that his gospel goes everywhere. And we can partner with God by praying that. That's the first word, praying. The second word is giving. Giving. My first trip to China to smuggle Bibles was in 1987. So quite a while ago. And that's when Hong Kong was still a British colony. And there were five of us on a team that smuggled Bibles across the border from Hong Kong into the Chinese city of Shenzhen for 2.5 days so we could smuggle smaller amounts, and then we consolidated big suitcases full of them. And we had to have little carts and, you know, little rollers and backpacks, and we were hauling heavy. So it took us a couple days to smuggle enough across the border to get a big load. And back then, it took 2.5 days on a train to get from Shenzhen in the south to get to Beijing up in the northern Midwest part of China. Okay? So we got on that train, and that's down towards the equator in southern China. And it was June. It was mid-June. It was hot. It was broiling. And the train didn't have air conditioning. It just had windows. And most everybody in that train smoked. And it stunk. And one guy had a watermelon. He just threw it on the floor and gave chunks to everybody else around, kind of like a party. And that got sticky, and it was not a comfortable train ride. I didn't get much sleep on that train. And so we were all pretty tired when we got up to Beijing. A couple of days, 2.5 days, three days, two nights on that train. I was pretty tired, pretty whooped out. Needed a nap and needed some food and some cold water. So our instructions were to come out of the train and to go into the big courtyard around the train station. And we were the only foreigners, the only white folks there. And then a Chinese guy from Singapore. He's ethnic Chinese, but he's from another nation. So that helps if he gets caught or arrested. He's from another nation. They're not going to punish him or us as harshly as they will their own citizens. So this guy, he speaks English. He's going to come find you out in the courtyard there. Okay. So we get out in this thing, and there's thousands of Chinese people all over. We're just standing out there. And so finally a Chinese looking guy comes up. Hi, I'm Charles. I'm your contact. Follow me now. Oh, great. Hi. So he's walking this way, and we walk with him with all our heavy luggage and stuff. And a block away, we finally get to a hotel. We go in, and he motions for us to not be loud. And we go up into the hotel, some of the hotel rooms, and we go in there, and we got all our luggage. And he opens up and looks, and he's just overjoyed. He's overjoyed. He's just saying, oh, we've been praying so much, so much for you to make it safely here. So the way it works, I said, Charles, tell me about who's going to get this load of Bibles. Because it was some work to get them here. And I'm feeling like we just did a big thing. I'm feeling like we scored a touchdown or something for Jesus. You know, like, yeah, praise the Lord. We did it. We got them here. It's really good. So he says, oh, Brother Cal, let me tell you about who's going to get this load of Bibles. This load of Bibles, this week, you're the only foreigners coming to Beijing this week. So there's a group of 50 evangelists, pastors from house churches all over China that are currently students at Beijing University. And so this load of Bibles gets to be divvied up between all of those pastors. So they're praying you come in safely, and they're praying you come in heavy, so they can all get a lot of Bibles to take back. I said, that's great. He said, let me tell you about just one of these pastors, one of these evangelists. He says, this was mid-June. He says, back in the first part of March, I met one of them, and I gave him a couple of gospel tracts in Chinese, and I gave him one Chinese Bible. And he was so happy to get that Bible, so thrilled. And he said, I just saw him again last night. I just was visiting him and checking on him last night. That's great. He said, here's what happened. Last night I talked to him, and he said he was been praying for you and everybody on the train, and he was so excited to get some Bibles for his city. And he said, but he'd been having some dizzy spells, and he had some internal bleeding in his digestive system, and he almost blacked out a couple times. And Charles says, well, brother, what's going on? What is that? What are you doing? Aren't you eating or drinking water or what? And the brother said, well, when you gave me the Bible in March, I was so excited. I was so excited to get the Bible that what I did is every day I only bought one bowl of steamed white rice. And that's all I've eaten every day for the past 3.5 months. And so as a student, he got a stipend of about 50 U.S. cents a day to live on for food, which back then in China, over 30 years ago, you could buy a couple meals. Food was very, very inexpensive. And he only bought one. He spent 20 cents a day. And then what he did is with his 30 cents a day, he didn't spend on food. He had enough money at the end of every week to buy a postage stamp and an envelope. And he would carefully cut out or tear out 2 pages of the Bible. And he would fold them gently in the envelope and send them to his church, far away in southwest China, his home church. Well, eating just a little bit of rice every day for 3.5 months, that's going to cause some health problems. And it was starting to for this guy. And Charles says, well, hey, brother, the foreigners are coming tomorrow and you've only got till the end of the month for your session. So you've got less than 2 weeks until you go home at the end of the session, the end of the school year. Brother, why don't you just not send anything home this week or next week? Why don't you just wait? Why don't you buy some food, some vegetables, some fruit, an egg? Why don't you take care of yourself and just not send anything home this week? And take, hey, you may get 50 Bibles to take with you in 2 weeks. You may get 50 Bibles. Hopefully you'll get that many. And this brother says, Charles, you hurt me. Charles says, I'm sorry, what is it? Charles, you offend me. I'm sorry, brother, what is it? He says, you don't know what you're talking about. He says, please help me. So he says, in my city far away in southwest China, we have 200 believers that are ready to die for Jesus. And when I came up here to university, our church only had 2 pages of the Bible. And so when you become a new believer and we see that you're ready to die for Jesus, then you wait your turn and then you get 1 page of the Bible and then you get the other page and you do nothing else until that page is memorized. And then it goes to the next believer. And so it's always being read and memorized, those 2 pages. And we have our church take turns. We take turns fasting and praying that we'll have Bibles for our church and for our whole city. Because we don't want to be in error. We don't want to miss God. We don't want to believe or do the wrong thing. We want to know what God says we're supposed to believe. We want to know about God and we want to know what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to apply it. So we need Bibles for that. He says, Charles, how could I sin against God? How could I sin against my brothers and sisters in my church by living here in Beijing in luxury with a whole Bible and not sacrificing to share it with them? Well, I didn't feel like Cal, the hero of the cross or the big warrior or the touchdown scorer for Jesus. I didn't feel any of that after that. I was broken. I was humbled. I said, Lord, teach me to love like that and teach me to give sacrificially like that. You can give. The question is not, how can I be blessed with all of God's blessings? God doesn't bless you to increase your standard of living. God blesses you to increase your standard of giving. The question is, can I still buy this? Can I still do this? And it be okay with God and with everything? A better question is, Lord, what things can I give away to help spread your kingdom? What all can I give away to spread your kingdom, Lord? That's the better question to ask. Give. The third way to apply this verse is to just literally obey it. There's no fancy Greek meaning to the word go. It just means go. And the question we need to ask is, who hasn't heard yet? And how can we get somebody to go tell them? Most of the time, it's not an English speaker from North America. Most of the time it's somebody from a tribe nearby that speaks a similar dialect, hopefully within the same country, so it's not as big of a cross-cultural conflict. Hopefully they know that language already and they're just willing to go. Jesus didn't say, just go to the easy, nice, safe, comfortable places either. He said, go into all the world. And I'll be with you always. Some places are hostile. Some places you go there and you may not last long. Some places missionaries go there knowing that their lives are threatened or be killed. And that's normal Christianity. That's normal church history, is be willing to sacrifice our lives so that these people can hear about Jesus, so they can know about the love of God. Go. Before you tell God, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too poor, I've got these other things, I just invite you to say, Jesus, what part do you want me to play in your kingdom? What do you want me to do in your kingdom, Lord? How can I serve you best? Do you want me to give my time and effort to helping teach the gospel to all nations? How can I help unreached people? Some of that can be done online, if you'll learn their language. Or if they're learning English, you can teach them English on Zoom, some people, and evangelize that way. But we still need missionaries. We still need missionaries to do the old-fashioned thing and show up and preach the gospel and start churches for those who believe and disciple them to serve the Lord. And then to send them out as missionaries and keep the gospel going forward. Boys and girls, you can have no greater excitement in your life. You can have no greater pleasure in your life than pleasing God and being in God's will. And if you volunteer to go anywhere and do anything for Jesus, God may have you stay right here in southern Michigan, or God may have you go to North Korea or Iran or Brazil or some other place where the gospel's needed. And if you surrender fully to Jesus, you'll have full joy and full blessing, and He will provide for every need. Don't wait for some supernatural voice to come out of the sky that says, go to India. Don't wait for that voice. Just volunteer now and say, Lord, how can I help do this? What missions opportunities do I have? Most of you, you can go down to World Missionary Press and volunteer for a day or two and help them make scripture booklets and pray over them. That's a great thing. What about evangelizing when you go to the grocery store or the gas station? What about passing out gospel tracts and witnessing? What about inviting your neighbors over and listening to their lives and their joys and their sorrows and telling them how good Jesus is? What about doing that? If you can serve Jesus here faithfully, you can serve Jesus anywhere. God has promised, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Not just will He go with you, not just will He bless the preaching of His word, but He's also promised us in other places that He will send His comforter and we will have His comfort. He's promised to keep our minds in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on Him. He's also promised to give us His strength in our weakness, and His grace will be sufficient for us. His grace was sufficient for Jesus when He was tortured to death on the cross. His grace and His peace and His joy were with the Apostle Paul when he was getting beaten with rods, whipped with whips, stoned with stones. God will be with us at that point too. I'd invite each of you to surrender, to volunteer. Say, Lord, what can I do to live a missions-focused life? Lord, how can I help spread the gospel around the world to those who've never heard it before? Who hasn't heard yet? And what do we got to be? And then what do we got to do so that those people hear it? Let's ask those questions and answer them and give our lives sacrificially to reach them. My family and I are also involved in pro-life ministry. And so we go evangelize in front of abortion clinics and preach the gospel and offer help, and Sometimes we even go into the parking lots and trespass and say, folks, you're not thinking clear today. We love you. We're here to help you. And so sometimes we get arrested and jailed and got to go to court for that. But there's a great mission field. Every county courthouse on traffic court day or city court day is a mission field. You can go there and offer to pray with people. You're here for court. Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm here to pray with you. What can I pray with you about today as you're going to court? Every event, every time there's a festival or a parade or something like that, a big fair, you could go there and offer to pray with people and witness to them and tell them about Jesus and offer to minister to them. My family and I also go to Ukraine. We were there 7 years ago or 3 years ago. I got arrested for rescuing babies a few years ago. Was it? Yeah, a few years ago. And so they took my passport and they wouldn't let me go overseas for a while. But before then, my family and I went to Ukraine several times. I'm hoping to go back to Ukraine again soon. I got a call from a missionary friend in Thailand. He's got a pallet full of Bibles in one of the Hmong tribal languages in Vietnam that need to be smuggled in from Thailand into Vietnam. So I'm hoping to do a trip like that. And Lord willing, I'm hoping to get back to China and go sneaking around some more villages, putting tracks on everybody's doors. And then India has started a pro-life movement. They started to address the issue. It's a gospel issue, how you treat children. And it's a gospel issue that you must establish justice in your land and declare and teach them what God says about children, that they're a blessing. And so I've been invited in early October to go to India. So Lord willing, I'm going to go do that. So you're all invited to pray about coming along with me or find some other trip you can go on like that. And before I close in prayer, I'm wondering if anybody has any questions that they'd like to ask. Okay, let me close in prayer then and turn it back to Brother Lynn. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would end abortion in our nation. I know that faithful Christianity does not look like toleration of child sacrifice. Faithful Christianity looks like being a peacemaker where there's violence. Faithful Christianity looks like loving our neighbors as ourselves. Faithful Christianity looks like going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And those you're going to save, you will save. And we got to go deliver the message. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that each boy, each girl, each grandma, each grandpa, each mom, each dad, each single young person here would say, Lord Jesus, how can I serve you best? How can I volunteer? How can I make my life count for global evangelization and discipleship? I volunteer, Lord. I pray that everyone would love you with all their whole heart and seek you and be close to you, Lord. And I pray that you would bless them powerfully, righteously, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would continue to build your church. We pray for our nation. We pray that you would bless America with repentance, with confession of sin and turning away from our wicked ways. We pray for our nation, Lord. God, we pray that we'd be faithful to pray for the missionaries that we know and we go meet some new ones and pray for them. And Lord, show us how we can participate even fully, more fully, in your global plan of evangelization and discipleship. Lord, help us not to become proud of what we've done, of what we've accomplished, but help us to say, Lord, how can I sacrifice even more to see the gospel go further? Help us to be so pure-hearted and so on fire for you, Lord, that we lift up our hearts and lift up our eyes to the harvest, and we volunteer to be part of your harvest. Lord, I pray you bless these dear brothers and sisters, minister to them, heal their diseases, help them with their problems. Help them to keep their eyes on you and trust you and rejoice in you. Help them to be faithful at exactly what you've called them to do. And I pray especially in Jesus' name that the children here would all be saved and born again at a young age, that they'd never know the depths and depravity of a sinful lifestyle. I pray that they would see their need for you, confess and repent and be saved at a young age, and then serve you all their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
So this morning, Paul shared with us about being saved, about being born again. So tonight we heard what happens when we are born again. We don't just sit. We don't become complacent, but we go. Maybe that going is right here in Sturgis.
Yep.
There's those here that go to World Missionary Press. We've got people sitting here tonight that have been across the ocean to share Jesus. We've got people here tonight that share Jesus right here where you're at. I feel like your message tonight was timely. It's what we need right now. Thank you so much for being willing to come and to bring your son from Missouri with you and your grandsons. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being here. We're going to have Ernie lead us in a song. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Then Ernie, if you have a song after that, and then we'll consider ourselves dismissed. Let's stand. We'll pray, and then, Ernie, you can give out your song. God, we thank you so much tonight for the blessing of hearing again the importance of going. We thank you so much that we're not on our own, but, Father, you're the one that directs our path. Help us to pay attention and to be willing to surrender and let go of what we really, really like here. Just pray your blessing on Cal and his family as they take the steps that they do, and each one here tonight, as we go and as we share your word. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.